has been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday. It is the Friday, maybe the Friday fade and then the Friday gain later in the day. We are starting to see a turnaround in the market here. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, on this Friday, August 11th. We've had quite an active week in the market, and it remains active. The Dow right now has turned positive. It's up by 54 points. After a weaker-than-expected PPI report, and we're seeing a huge jump in interest rates today. We'll talk about that in a minute. The NASDAQ does not like the jump in interest rates. The NASDAQ is down 70 right now to 13,668. Weakness in those chip, semiconductor, and software sectors continues. The S&P is down 6. That's a tenth of a percent. It's at 44.62. So we are pretty well off of our highs there. I'll have to do the math on what kind of a correction we're looking at. I mean, it's like 2 or 3%. Not that big, but it is a correction. The Russell 2000 down a quarter of a percent. Oil hanging tough today. It's up 3 cents. 82.85. And could this be an inflation problem down the road? Gold is down 90 cents to 1948. Silver's down 6 cents. Here's the biggest mover of the day, and it's the 10-year. So it's the bond market selling off, driving the 10-year up to 4.14%. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, and his analysis will come in handy here in a bit when we talk about today's PPI report. But right now, we've had a fade to open the market. It was down quite a bit right at the open, but since then, it has turned around a bit. The NASDAQ is still negative by about 50, but the Dow has now gone positive. The big tech has just come to a standstill. You look at those FANG stocks. I've been talking about this. They have completely leveled off. And the two hottest sectors in the market, which were the semiconductors and the software sectors, have also cooled off considerably. And we'll be talking about that also today. I said recently that the market is entering a new phase. And yesterday, when I sent out my final report to everybody, I said, that new phase, we're now in it. What does that mean for the market? You definitely got to handle things a little bit differently in August than you did in January of this year. And with that, we'll go to our chartered financial analyst, Barry Kite, and ask him a little bit about the PPI report today.
Yeah, well, I mean, the main thing is, like you've been harping on, that you know, a lot of this has been basically driven by PE expansion, you know, price to you know, how much folks will pay for earnings multiple expansion, in terms of, you know, in terms of most of most of 2023, and of course we've got the 10-year at 4.13 today, so we're over 4. So if you go look back at where, say, the NASDAQ was at certain times over this last year, where the Treasury was over 4, right? Well, you know, those are, you know, it's probably not a.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, well, there's definitely a correlation. I mean, there's a strong correlation between. It would be interesting to overlay a chart with interest rates in the NASDAQ.
Right, yeah.
The NASDAQ definitely reacts the most to interest rates going up because they have fatter multiples in the NASDAQ.
Yeah, and then of course with the PPI, it came in a tad bit hotter than expected. I think it was a tenth more than expected. And you know, we've seen higher, higher gas prices, right? Higher oil prices. You would imagine some of that's going to you know, work into the at least the top line number. But you know, nothing overly surprising, right? In terms of the PPI, of course. You know, you've got the 10-year up 5 basis points today, so not a huge reaction. But I think it's just kind of this, like you said, it's just entering this new phase of the market, and it's kind of a, you know, a bit of a pause, and you're at this teetering point, right, where at some point, you know, the Fed's going to give some direction, the economy is going to give some direction as well.
I don't think you're going to see any. We've seen multiple expansions since the beginning of the year. From 17, we got it to about almost to 20. And now that's come to a halt, okay? And the stocks that have the highest PEs, I think the Stratosphere stocks are in a bit of trouble right now, the SARC type of stocks. But we've come to a halt in that PE expansion. Now it comes back to earnings, all right? And so we've entered a new phase, and this second half of the year, just as I said, is definitely going to favor the lower PE side of the market, which is basically your industrials, your energy stocks, your cyclicals, your financials, basic materials, et cetera. And so far, that's how it's playing out. Now, that doesn't mean you go selling all of your tech stocks, but we did this week lower our exposure to some of the higher-end sectors of the market. We took some profits off the table. Some of our positions had grown to being outsized, way outsized positions. A lot of those stocks are up 70, 60, 80% so far this year. So we did take some profits off the table, but we didn't sell everything. We sold a portion in the areas of the market that had gotten too fat. Okay, now.
Yeah, it's kind of like a reset almost.
Yeah, a little bit of rebalancing, right? Yeah. I didn't like the way that the market, I thought we got really good news yesterday on the CPI, and you saw the market blast off. It was very discouraging to watch those big gains kind of disappear throughout the day, and that just was more reinforcement to me and confirmation, I guess you could say, that we've now entered into that new phase of the market, where you have to be more of a bargain hunter, where you can't just throw that dart at any growth stock and hit a winner. And, you know, I think, too, they remain hawkish. Right after we get that big report, I think what took the bloom off the rose yesterday was when Daly, for the Fed, San Francisco Fed, isn't it Mary Daly? She said, oh, we got more work to do on inflation. And I just saw the market kind of crumple, you know, after she said that.
Yeah, I mean, and what she says, it makes complete sense. I mean, it says more work needed to get inflation to target. Like, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, well, obviously, that's just math, right?
Yeah, to get to 2%, I mean, you know, it doesn't mean you have to raise interest rates. They have a balance sheet that they can unwind, too, or are unwinding. And so they've got, you know, tools out there. Could just mean staying at this rate for longer, right?
Exactly.
So yeah, I just thought it was funny because I'm with you in terms of how the market sentiment seemed to turn yesterday.
The market, like, cringed.
Yeah, based on basically math, right? Like, of course, I guess they would need to.
We're not at two yet. So. French inflation drops to 4.3% in July. That's the lowest since February. That's good news. But France unemployment moves higher, 7.2% unemployment in France for Q2. And then here's, you know, we go back to that downgrade last week of U.S. debt. The U.S. government spent $221 billion more in July than it took in. Okay, so if you annualize that, that's about right. I mean, we're spending about $2.5 trillion more than we're taking in every year. And that's why that big deficit continues to grow, the debt, the overall debt of the U.S. And that's why one of the main reasons you saw a downgrade of U.S. debt. The fiscal year-to-date deficit, okay, so that's 7 months through the year, now stands at $1.6 trillion. Holy cow. So far this year, we've spent $1.6 trillion more than we've taken in. It's not sustainable. It is not sustainable yet we continue to go down our merry way and kick the can down the road. And, of course, U.S.'s long-term rating got downgraded last week by Fitch from AAA to AA, double A plus. Okay, we went from AAA.
Yeah, I was going to say on the bright side, it came in seven. The deficit came in $7 billion less than it did than it was in June.
Oh my God! Like, you know, I just don't
even
know how
put
these.
That sentence in there.
We've sent them to Washington, and this is what we get. Yeah. Okay, then my weird story of the day. I guess when we come back. It's going to take place in Rome, maybe one of the Colosseums, the old Colosseums of Rome. What is it? Well, when we come back, the weird story of the day. This is the Best Stocks Now and Weird Story of the Day show. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. A little update here on the market, which has actually improved quite a bit, despite, you know, the PPI, it wasn't that big of a deal, really, but it was up. It was more than expected. It was, I think, 0.3 instead of 0.2. I mean, we're talking splitting hairs, but really, not too bad. The Dow has now turned positive. It's up 132. We're getting the opposite. Now maybe we'll get a fade, a rally, and then the fade. We'll see. But right now we have a rally mode going on in the Dow. And the NASDAQ is up 31, or down 31 right now, 13,708. Okay, the weird story of the day. Everything in the camera frame will be ancient Rome. You know, it's interesting because a lot of people have compared Mark Zuckerberg like with one of the old Roman, one of the Roman governors or whatever, Titus or Nero,
Julius
Caesar, because of his weird haircut. And of course, Elon Musk, he's odd, obviously, but he's a genius. But this is going to take place in Rome. In the ancient part of Rome, they spoke to the Prime Minister of Italy and the Minister of Culture. They have agreed on an epic location.
And it's going to be, filmed by, I think, live streamed by both or so, right?
What a weird thing. Musk, who runs Tesla, SpaceX, and now he calls Twitter X, will be managed by their respective foundations and will be live streamed on X and Meta platforms. The 52-year-old Musk added that everything done will pay respect to the past. Of course, Rome's got a dicey past there. You go back, to the early Christians.
Gladiator.
And then the gladiators and whatnot, the fall of the Roman Empire. And the present, the past and the present, making reference to Gladiator, all proceeds from the fight will go to veterans.
He may need it. I mean, I don't know if he, apparently old Zuckerberg has been, he's jacked and's been training and this and that and the other. And so, yeah, I guess Elon needs it. He's going to need to come with a sword or a mace or something from the gladiator age.
I think Elon's probably got a personal trainer that keeps him pretty fit. But anyways, perhaps we'll be in the Colosseum, an ancient amphitheater completed in 80 AD. This is when they were beheading the apostles, right? Got them all, except for John, who was... I'm teaching New Testament this year. Who was, he was sent to the Isle of Patmos. The days of ancient Rome coming back with two guys, Elon Musk. And this is weird. It's just flat out weird, but I'll probably watch. Watch it be the most beat the Super Bowl, right? The most watched event of all time. Okay, the Chinese. Now this is an issue, okay? And it's an issue for it's showing up in the chip stocks, especially in the high-end chip stocks. The Chinese chip industry execs call for greater supply chain self-reliance. Isn't that funny? Because in America, we're calling for greater supply chain self-reliance from China, especially when it comes to prescription drugs and things like that, rare earth materials, etc. China is calling for greater supply chain. So the problem is, at this point in time, they don't have the technology that ASM lithography has, that NVIDIA has, that AMD has. So anyways, yesterday, and this sent a shiver through the tech industry when President Biden signed an executive order to regulate certain U.S. investments in China in three areas: semiconductors and microelectronics, quantum information technology, and artificial intelligence. And that's also put a chill in a lot of the artificial intelligence stocks, and it's kind of brought the artificial intelligence rally. Now, of course, those stocks are being hit also by, you know, a chill in the P.E. ratio expansion, which I don't think you're going to see. You're not going to see 22.5 that Oppenheimer is predicting. Now, if they're right, my hat is off to them. I'll bow my head to them, but I don't see that happening. We're at 19.5, and that's probably the limit of where that PE, that's probably the higher end of where it belongs. So anyways, semiconductor imports in China declined by 22% in the first half of 2023. And you're definitely seeing a slowdown in the semiconductor chip industry right now. I mean, the last good news it got was phenomenal news from NVIDIA with the huge demand for their chips. But this China news is not good, okay? Now, President Joe Biden called China a ticking time bomb amid deflationary spiral and economic woes. And this is another headwind for the market. As China slid into deflation last month, President Joe Biden called the country a ticking time bomb. I don't doesn't sound like relations are thawing, does it, to you, Barry? If anything, it's ratcheting up. He says this puts the rest of the world at risk. Biden said China is in trouble at a political fundraiser in Utah, which events in Utah ended up being quite dramatic yesterday, or the day before, pointing to its economic slowdown and the fact that people in retirement age outnumber those of working age. They've got structural problems. They have a huge unemployment rate amongst teenagers.
Yeah, they do. But he was talking about there was more retired people or old people there than young people, and I think he was off by, like, I don't know, 200-something million.
Well, you know, who's counting 200 million? That's in the ballpark.
There were some facts that I saw that kind of, it was like, I'm like, oh my. You know, not only, obviously, some of the rhetoric, but just being off by a certain numbers.
Yes, like, wow, just a little bit off. But okay, but here's the most prescient thing that he said, and I've been saying this before Biden said it. Here's what he says. So they have problems. It's almost like he knows something. That's not good, because when bad folks have problems, they do bad things. Remember that, okay? This is true. If you look back at the revolutions, you know, in Russia and China, they don't happen during good times. They happen during bad times. I've been saying the same thing. And you had Kyle Bass, earlier this week saying that they're going to go after Taiwan next year.
Youth unemployment, remember that?
Or they could have an uprising within their country, or China could really crack down even more. Not, you know, that they're not already cracking down. So anyways, it's not a good situation in China. All right, when we come back, just another look back at Disney yesterday, and then we got a hot stock that's soaring today on a new collaboration with Boeing. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Today is newsletter day for me and tomorrow morning, and a lot to report on this week with the CPI report, the PPI report, a lot of earnings that came in this past week. We're pretty much done. I think we're going to have excellent numbers that we can pretty much count on for this year, 2023. But right now it's all about next year, 2024. And that comes from the guidance that the companies gave during their conference calls. Most of them commented on, next year, some guided higher. Novo Nordisk would be one that I can think of, and a few others. Others are talking in the background with the analysts that cover the company. That's where most of the action takes place and most of that info. And that info, it's found in different places. I take all the different, estimates out there, and take that into consideration. Then I have my own formulas to come up with my estimates for next year. If anything, I think the estimates for next year might be too optimistic, but we'll see. I'm going to see what the direction was. Today's going to be a very important newsletter when it comes to the macro outlook. I think we've kind of settled in on where that multiple belongs. Now, we may get some multiple expansion. What's that going to take? Barry, you know what's going to take. It's going to take the Fed starting to cut interest rates.
Right, yeah, and interest rate expectations, right, also forward expectations going down as well. This yield spike, I mean, we've really seen it. If you just go back to, say, the end of June, right, you can kind of, these points in time where the rate's been particularly above 4%, the level of the market level in general has been lower, right?
Yes, so. Exactly. I mean, if we get rates back into the mid threes to low threes, that will have a very positive impact on the market in 2024. That's kind of a wild card that we're hoping for in 2024. The earnings. Yeah, we have our best guess right now. We begin a new year in less than 5 months here, 4.5 months, and we have the best guess. And, of course, we have the guidance that the companies are actually giving to the analysts, and we have kind of consensus numbers. So it'll be a very important macro outlook, and we'll have a featured article, a featured stock of the week. And I've got a couple in my mind that we will, one of those will become our featured stock of the week for next week, our best idea, or one of our best ideas at the current time. So if you're not getting the newsletter, you get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. We did a little bit of activity in our portfolios this week. Rebalancing is the word. You want to get this week's newsletter because now the macro picture is really becoming key to all of this. Every week I went to kind of a flag system. A green flag means coast is clear, bye, 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 okay, and then we have a mixed greenish yellow flag. be a little careful maybe. We have a yellow flag when there's oil on the track. Slow down. Get behind the pace car. Don't do anything crazy right now. And then, of course, you get to yellow, red, and then red, which we had most of last year. That's critical. That's key. You have to have the macros working for you. If you go to William O'Neill's CANSLIM, acronym, that M in CANSLIM is market. Because the market at the end of the day is 80% of your success or failure in the market. The market really determines your performance. It's hard to make money in a down market unless you're buying inverse funds, right? So anyways, that will be very
highly
important.
Highly concentrated risk in,
yes,
one,
in a few
one
stocks.
Or two names. Right? Yeah.
So anyways, you get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. Now, just looking back at Disney, Disney had a pretty good day. By the end of the day, it ended up. It's down 1% today. But you know what? I would just, my reaction would be ho-hum, really. Nothing there changes the trajectory. Although we're hearing from the analyst that this is a turning point. Now, we've heard that many times in the past. But the stock was up about 5% yesterday. Now, let's just check in. Okay, let's check in. This is the current valuation I have on Disney, and then we'll move on to other stocks. But Disney's a very important because it's such an iconic, important stock out there. We've all had some kind of contact with Disney, many contacts with Disney. We've spent a lot of money with Disney, for heaven's sake. 47.6% upside potential over the next 3 to 5 years. That's really subpar. I mean, that's a value grade of F, okay? That's what it scores on its report card. Just not a lot of upside potential. What's it going to take?
And a lot of headwinds.
It's going to take a turnaround. Now, here's the one that I'm watching today. We keep hearing that, we're going to have flying taxis, robo-taxis flying over our heads.
Right.
Delivering us to the airport, going right over the traffic. Archer Aviation, ACHR, Archer Aviation today. It was up more. Now it's up 2%. It was soaring in the pre-market. But they secured an investment. Couple companies are going to cough up $215 million to Archer Aviation, Stellantis and Boeing, and United Airlines. So you can see, I mean, they kind of got it all covered. Stellantis would be maybe selling someday vertical cars on their lot, and Boeing obviously would probably make the cars, and then United Airlines would be using them as a hub. To get to, flights going elsewhere. So ACHR, that's one. The other one is Joby, J-O-B-Y, and it's kind of settled down. It ran up to 12, and now it's at 7 and 3. I do think there will be at some point in time that's coming, like the Jetsons cartoon, flying around, taking the kids to school, dropping them off. Having them land by a drone or whatever launched from your vertical vehicle. But anyways, it's something to keep an eye on. I would just say the two biggest players. And, of course, according to our friend Kathy Wood, Tesla's a major player in all of it. Is going to be a major.
Yeah, why not the air tube? Like the tube that, nobody really, they don't want you to go to the teller anymore at the bank. But remember those bank tubes?
Yeah.
That's what we need.
Yep, you can hear those things coming.
Not more flying things.
Well, and there used to be, at a lot of the department stores, they had a tube where they would put the money in, and whoosh, it would suck it right out so nobody could come rob the cash for it. All right, the other stock in the news today. I don't know how many satellites are going to end up in outer space. Telesat. TSAT is up 52% today. They're going to build 198 advanced satellites for the Telesat Lightspeed low Earth orbit. They call it LEO, which is interesting. Isn't that a constellation or something out there? Or it's at least a sign, an astrological sign. Telesat also announced it's now fully funded through global service delivery. I don't know what these satellites, they're advanced satellites. What, spying on us? I don't know. But Canada's a big investor in this. So anyways, 156 more satellites coming to an outer space near you by Telesat. TSAT stock up 51%. Okay, now here's the other big, you talk about the robo-taxis. How about the taxis without a driver? California is going to expand big time. Waymo and Cruise are giving them licenses.
Is this in San Francisco, right?
Yes. You know, and that's one of the most, I don't even like driving there with it, me being the driver.
Right, yeah, all the hills and everything else.
Oh, my gosh, that is, anyways.
I mean, is it going to navigate Lombard Street, right?
Yeah, without drivers, you know, and even in inclement weather. So GM is Cruise, and Waymo is Google or Alphabet. So anyways, California is upping the ante big time with the driverless robo-taxis. And if they don't like you, it drives you right into the San Francisco Bay, right? Anyways, yeah, given control to the taxi, I don't know. I'm not there yet for sure. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, where the biggest factors in the market seem to be the problems with the Chinese economy, not the thawing. I mean, it's not thawing, it's freezing. The relations between us and China, the crackdown on the semiconductor industry selling into the Chinese market. And the interest rate jump today here of about five, we're back up to 4.15 after getting down to 3.98 earlier in the week. Those seem to be the biggest factors. And you know what? The sudden chill in big tech. I mean, day after day, I keep going through the leaders in the Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ, and it's conspicuous by their absence are the big tech, the FANG stocks, Meta, Alphabet, Microsoft has corrected quite a bit, NVIDIA, AMD, etc. Different kind of market than the first 6 months of the year. In the Dow, the leader, Merck, up 1.5. Now, that's another area, okay, I would say, you know, the energy has been a good spot to be in the second half of this year. So have the pharmaceuticals, if you're in the right ones. They have their own kind of revolution, not AI. Also, I'm sure they're using AI for drug development, but this whole weight loss thing. And I saw today that Novo Nordisk bought a weight loss company up in Canada. That comes from at the problem from a little bit different direction. But right now, Wegovy, Novo Nordisk drug, and Mounjaro, which is coming from Pfizer, are the two big players there. So I would just say that the pharmaceutical sector is a pretty good sector here in the second half of this year. It also tends to be pretty low PE. Merck is up 1.5. United Healthcare, too. That's another one that's been left behind that may be worth a look. Some of the managed healthcare companies, totally left behind in the first half of this year. United is definitely the blue chip there. It's up 1.4% today. The oil stocks continue to do okay. Exxon up 1.3, Chevron up 1.1, and then another pharmaceutical, Pfizer, which has got to get back in the game. You know, they were in the right place at the right time with their vaccine for COVID, but that franchise has gone off a cliff. Pfizer is up 1.3%. Now, here's the thing, Barry. This is a lot more more boring stocks than AI, quantum physics, quantum this and quantum that. Merck.
Right. Yeah.
United Healthcare. Chevron. But the market goes through cycles. It goes through cycles where high PE, high growth is totally in favor. And then it kind of corrects itself, the market does.
Well, that's why we were in large tech at the beginning of the year, because you kind of expect an earnings slowdown, and they were in those large tech names were at least historically, the last 10 years or so, have been a better place to be to weather those storms, as an economy does potentially slow down. But
and then they get overbought, right?
Yeah.
Okay. They're filling up too much of your portfolio. We're a case in point. And the P.E. ratios get a little bit, bothersome. And so people start lowering their exposure to tech, and that's what you're seeing right now. But they don't really set that money on the sidelines. I mean, we're not at that point yet in the market. They go into other sectors like energy, like the financials, like the pharmaceuticals, like the industrials, et cetera, basic materials
Or rotation. Right.
Yes, rotation. That's why we believe in being a little bit on the active side. Now, if you're going to be passive, you basically, you have 20% in tech, you have 20% overseas, you have 20% in like the S&P 500, and then you got 20% in the bond market, and you stay pat, okay? That's kind of your all-weather, but you're going to get all-weather results. You're not going to do too badly, and you're not going to do very well either. That's just the way, that's the nature of the, that's what you give up by being not a little bit active in the market. We're searching for alpha. At all times, we're searching for alpha. SPY, the S&P 500, here's your winners, pretty boring. Hanes Brands, VFC, which makes uniforms and whatnot. Tapestry, which made the big buy yesterday at Capri. Occidental Petroleum up 2.4%. I read that Occidental's building a big carbon capture plant that will suck the carbon out of the air in Texas. And Valero.
Yeah, see, that's the better. To me, that you got to figure out those kind of technologies versus, hey, let's build a bigger battery or whatever.
Right.
Right. I mean, I don't know. I saw something about the airline industry trying to get to carbon neutral by 2050, and it was like, $3 trillion. I don't know. I forget.
Nothing is more efficient than fossil fuels, but
yeah.
We're going to destroy our efficiency because we're going down that path,
right?
Come hell or high water. That's the way it is. Valero up 2.4. The refiners have been on fire recently. Zions up 2.3. That's a financial. And then Marathon, another refiner, is up 2.2. And then over at the NASDAQ, well, and here's the losers. This just gives you an idea. Lam Research down 2.9. That's a chip stock. NX Semiconductor down 2.8. Applied Materials down 2.7. AMD 2.1. They're a source of funds right now to go into these other areas. NVIDIA down 2. And then, of course, one other area that you could pick on with an inverse, China. Their stocks are kind of reeling right now. JD down 5.3. NetEase down 4.7. There is several inverse China ETFs, if that's your cup of tea. And if it's not, so be it. But China's very weak right now. Okay, today's newsletter, look at two things. Well, look at the whole news, but the macro outlook and the featured stock of the week and our portfolios and what we've done and how we've done so far this year and where the action is now, where the action's going. There'll be a lot of commentary in the newsletter. It's pretty thorough. We go down every alleyway, every avenue, and try not to miss anything. Get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. And to set up an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.